verse 4 of Psalm 23. Yes, though I walk through the deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil, for you are with me. Your rod to protect and your staff to guide, to comfort me. This guy that said this was David, but the person that's walking in the ways of the Lord, that this Psalm 23 is giving a picture of, the reason he can say that is because he's done verse 1, 2, and 3. He's been resting in the Lord. He's resting beside the still waters. He's receiving his nourishment. He's conforming his ways to the Lord, allowing the Lord to lead and guide him. Then Psalm verse 4 comes up, Psalm 23, verse 4. Now he's in a position to where he can have faith for this. Because he's done verse 1, 2, and 3, and he's resting in the Lord, he's allowing the Lord to lead and guide him, he's submitting his ways to the Lord, then he can say, yes, though I walk through the deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil. That doesn't just happen. This person has been doing what's called for, and then he's declaring this. He's making a decision here. That's what it says. I will fear no evil. You say, Michael, you are not going to fear here. You're not going to. Because, and then you speak the word over it. That's what he's doing here. Has David been in this position before? Many times. Even as a shepherd, he was there. When that bear and that lion came and other things came his way, and Goliath and all the other things, his own children running him down wanting to kill him. You know, Saul after him. He's been in this place, and that's why he wrote this psalm. Yea, though I walk through the deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death. Notice he's walking. Now, most people will run through there to get out to the other end as quick as you can. He's walking. His way of life at this moment, his now moment, is dark, it's depressing, it's full of potential death or destruction. That's where he's at in his life at this moment. But he's not worried about it. He's not running. He's not fretting. He's not afraid of it. Concern will be there. But when the concern comes up, he just simply receives his strength from the Lord. I will fear or dread no evil, for you are with me. See, he's confident that God is with him. He's right there, right in the middle of that storm of life. We should have the same kind of faith and trust, knowing that God is with us. Because I'm doing verse 1, 2, and 3. I'm believing that. So he's with me. And most people overlook, but I haven't, and if you've been around me long enough, you've heard me say it before, it's a valley of the shadow of death. Now, there's one characteristic that's always present when there's a shadow. And what is that? The light. You're not going to have a shadow if there's no light there. This is a shadow of death. It's not death. It's the shadow of death. So what's shining on the death? Light. Who is the light?
Jesus.
Jesus is the light. He is the light. God is light, the word says. So if there is a shadow, there's light. Light is shining on the death. What happens to the death? It's no more a threat. But see, I've got to position myself for that. I have to believe it. Otherwise, that shadow can overwhelm me. A shadow can defeat me. You see people shadow boxing? Get knocked out by your shadow. That's what happens. Oh, that's funny. But if it was a shadow of death, then my threat, there's only a shadow. I will be overcome by a shadow. And all the time, the light's there. Does that make sense? You know, sometimes you got to take these scriptures and the words painting a picture for us. And if we meditate on it and look at what it's actually saying, we can see this picture and put ourselves in it. And it'll make sense to the problems and issues that I'm walking through in my life. What I think is a big, major problem is not that big a deal. Once you get the light of revelation on it, you find out that that thing I think is so big is really not that big at all. It's really not compared to eternity, compared to time, compared to the rest of my life, compared to other problems and issues, compared to what God has already done for me. If I think of what all he's done for me, then this problem becomes kind of pale in comparison. Paul talks about that a lot in his letters. And that's what David is doing here as he's painting this picture in Psalm 23 of this person that's walking in the ways of the Lord, walking in peace. So let's look at... There's more there, but I will fear or dread no evil, for you are with me. That's why. And he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Your rod to protect and your staff to guide, and to, they comfort me. So my faith and trust is in my shepherd. And he's more than enough. Psalm 118:6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? There's three things there. David has declared the Lord is on my side. Well, if the other guy repents, he's on his side too. But if he doesn't repent, he's coming against God when he comes against me. The Lord is on my side. Then he does what? After he states the Lord is on my side, the next thing he says, he declares, I will not fear. The person made a choice. If you leave that out, this person doesn't do that, then he's got a right to be afraid. Man can do something to him. But because the Lord is on my side, because of that, I boldly declare, I will not fear. Fear, I rebuke you. You are not coming into my life. I refuse to be afraid here. What can man do to me? In order to get to me, they got to go through God. You've got a problem with me, you go to him first. You get past God, then we'll talk. Other than that, I will not fear. What can man do to me? I love this next one. I like the way the Amplified says it. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not. What's that? Stated that way, that's a commandment. Don't do that. That's a commandment, isn't it? And if God says, fear not, what are you supposed to do? Don't fear. He said, don't fear. Then he tells you why. Fear not. There is nothing to fear. Oh, yeah? You see that big guy coming at me? No, he said, fear not, there is nothing to fear. Why? For I am with you. This is God talking here. Fear not, there is nothing to fear, for I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed, for I am your God. I will, absolute, I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of rightness and justice. I like that. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. So when those difficulties come your way, when it says he's hardening you to them, it means he's strengthening you. They're not going to bulldoze you over. Whatever, however hard he's got to make you, he will. But my part is to not fear. My part is to roll that over on him. My part is to trust him. This is one of those scriptures that if you're facing problems, that you should write out, put it somewhere where you can get a hold of it. And then when these problems come, start speaking that and laying claim to it, especially in the Amplified Classic Version. Do that. This is part, see, if we don't speak it, then it doesn't work. But if we speak it, we're laying claim to it. It's feeding our spirit man, and we're being strengthened, and we're declaring the word as if Jesus himself was saying it. It's his word. And I have a right to speak it. So when I speak it, that's coming directly against Satan.
Amen.
And against all this darkness. It's a sword that's cutting two ways against that thing. We don't see it. But every time I speak it, that circumstance gets weaker. It's like a big old ball on a crane that comes down and hits something. And then they go back and the wrecking ball hits it again. Eventually, it gives way. And this is a big wrecking ball where Satan's concerned. The problem is when troubles come, feelings, emotions, problems and issues of life, we don't do that. We don't take the word and speak it out there against it. The more I say it, the more I'm going to believe it. The more I believe it, the harder it is on Satan. The harder it is on that circumstance, the stronger I get. But if I just sit there and wait for God to do something, he's already did it. He's given me his word. That's what I'm supposed to use. If I don't use it, that's my fault, not his. Oh, God, please get me out of this. Well, he's given you the key. Use the key. Take the key, put it in the lock, open the door, and walk out. The gates of hell shall not prevailed against the church. He can't keep you locked up. You have a right to go free. And we go free by the word. Our mind and emotions have to yield to the word if I believe it. And the way faith comes is by hearing. Hearing by the word. Hearing by the word. I hear the word spoken, the word I speak. The angels hearken to the voiced word. That's the word they grab onto and work with. If I don't voice it, they can't hearken to it. That's when I lay claim to it, is if I'm speaking it. So this is one of those things that you should have in your sack as a stone that you can sling at the enemy every time he comes your way. I will not fear. I absolutely refuse to. And I on purpose rejoice, put the joy back.
Amen.
So that's what he's saying here. Fear not, there is nothing to fear, for I am with you. That's the whole sum total of it. He's with me. He's in me. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed. In other words, forget focusing on that problem. Don't focus on the problem. Focus on the answer to the problem. That's what he's telling you. Don't look around. Keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on the word. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed. The only way you can be dismayed is if you choose to be dismayed. That's a choice the person makes. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Notice the word help. He won't do it for us. He will help us with it. And he helps us by his Spirit. He helps us do the word. He gives us the word, strengthens us, teaches us how to choose, leads us beside those still waters, feeds us. He takes care of all of that. Our part is to make the steps, to make the decision, to speak the word, to believe it. That's my part. He's not going to believe for me. He doesn't have to believe. He already is. He's faith itself. He's already put it out there. I got to take it and act on it. He tells me how to act on it, what to do, where to go. Hallelujah. It's good stuff.
I like it.
I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of rightness and justice. Glory be to God. I love that scripture. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Is God for us? Yes, he is. Well, if he's for me, I don't have anything to be afraid of. It might look big, but it's not as big as he is. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All things is all things. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. He delivered his own son up so that he could give us all things. And 1 Peter, is it 1 Peter or 2 Peter? I think it's 1 Peter.
What?
He has freely given us all things that pertain to life and godliness.
2 Peter.
Yeah, chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Peter,
chapter
1.
Verse 2.
Verses 2 and 3 and 4. 2 Peter chapter 1,
yes.
Verses 2 through 4. Or actually through 8 or 10. You can go all the way down 10. But he has freely given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's what Paul's talking about here. And Peter mentions it again. So again, there's nothing to fear. Fear's a tool of the enemy. Psalm 119 and verse 105. I'll be here just a minute. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We've talked about that before several times in messages. But I think it's important for this particular thing we're talking about to bring this back into this study. His word, the reason I do not fear, the reason I can walk right with God, the reason he's leading me and guiding me. His word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. My feet is my now moment, right where I am right now. What I'm living in, this is my feet right now, our now moment. So the word is a lamp or a light shining on my now moment. It's shining on everything in that now moment. The word is shining light, the light of revelation on everything involved in where I'm at right now. I might be in a time of trouble. I might be a time of depression or fear or worry. But the word is the light in that moment. If I focus on the darkness or on the fear, the worry, the depression, and all that's going on in that now moment, no matter how serious it is, if I focus on that, I turn my light out. The light's not on it, even though it's there. But if I turn to the word becomes a light shining on that shadow of death that I'm going through at that moment. It becomes the light, bringing light in the darkness. Without the light, you just have the darkness. And that shadow may as well be real, because to me it is. It's real to me. So, because I see it as real. I see it as harming me. I'm focused on it. That thing keeps getting bigger. Bigger and bigger and bigger. The fear grows, the worry grows, the concern grows. Before long, I'm full of depression, fear, and worry. It's eating my life up. But if I'll take the word and let it be the lamp, let it be the light in my now moment, whatever I'm going through, whenever it is, if I take the word and put the word, the scripture we just read in Isaiah 41 is a good place. But a lot of other scriptures you can use. If I take that word and I'll speak it, declare it, and believe it, I have to choose to believe something. I got to choose to believe it. So I believe the word, I trust it, then the light and the power of that word is shining on that problem. And now that shadow gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And now this really is shadow, it's figment, it's not real. It has a potential of harming me. So what? God will heal me. So I still come out ahead. That's the attitude we got to have. And that's what it's talking about here. So, your word is a lamp unto my feet, but it's a light unto my path. At the same time that it's shining on these circumstances in my now, this fear, worry, and depression and all that, the word is also revealing where it's going. He's shining a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That same light is showing me the direction I'm to go in, like a flashlight in darkness, and you're shining it, you're looking for the door, and there it is. It shows you the direction you're to go. The same word does that.
Amen.
The same word does that. So, man, this is, the word is life. It's life. Psalm 27, verse 1. This is David again. Now, he's going through a major fight. In Psalm 27, we're not going to go through the whole thing. It's a long teaching in and of itself. But I like the first part because he's also talking about light and fear. Psalm 27, verse 1. It's New King James again. The Lord is my light. Now notice what he says. He's making a statement. He's speaking it. He's not just thinking it. He's declaring something. Right in the middle of a storm. The Lord is my light and my salvation. His deliverance. Not just going to heaven. He couldn't have went to heaven at that time. The cross hadn't happened. Salvation from this problem or issue. Salvation in whatever I need. He's my salvation. My deliverance. The Lord is my light. He's bringing light in this darkness. Now remember, this same guy wrote Psalm 23, verse 4, going through the valley of the shadow of death. He wrote that because he'd been there. Now here in Psalm 27, he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. There's light on this darkness. Whom shall I fear? I haven't got nothing to fear. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Shall I be afraid? In other words, because God is my light. See, because he's my light, because I know that, I'm not going to allow fear to work. But you see the importance? Every place we've saw this, every one of these circumstances, we see them saying it. We see them speaking it against it. They're doing warfare with that fear. If you don't come against it with the word, then the fear will rise. Because it has a right to. You are allowing it to function. But when you come against it with the word, because you believe it, when you do that, fear has to back off. It cannot stand against the word. But it's your choice. You have to believe it.
I like the use of is here.
Pardon?
The use of his.
Yeah
he is fear.
Right now.
Yeah.
Whatever he's going through right now.
Yeah.
That now moment.
That now moment. That is so important to us. I have to do warfare with that. I have to fight for my peace in the middle of that. Glory to God. But see, the thing is, I'm not doing it alone. And that people start hearing that, they think, I'm just not that strong. You don't have to be that strong. God's that strong.
Amen.
See, you're not with it alone. You're not fighting this thing alone. If you were not born again, if you did not have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're fighting that alone. But you're not alone. He is your Lord. He's inside you. He's strengthening you right through it. That's why you've got to focus on the little areas of life as well as the big, because he's leading and guiding you around those things. And then when the problem comes big time, you're already strong enough to handle it. You already hear his voice. So, now, this is one of my favorite. I'm using the Amplified, and this will be our next to last one. And you almost got to use the Amplified to get the power of this statement, and we've read it before. And it's good in other versions, but it's not as powerful as this is in the Amplified. I love it. Hebrews 13, starting in verse 5, and the second part of verse 5b. He, God himself, has said. So everything that follows here, God said. David wrote it down, but God said it. He, God himself, has said, I will not, absolute, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not. Man, you think he means it? See, I can take that scripture right there and I can use that as strength. I can declare that. God, you said. He said it. So will he not do it? But I got to agree with it. Then verse 6, so, or because God said that, God quit talking now. The man's talking now. Verse 5 is God talking. Verse 6 is the man talking. So, we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, so you're saying it, say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? That same statement came up in all of those others we wrote. Read, what can man do to me? They can kill me. So what? I'm already living in eternity. You can't kill a dead man. I'm already dead. I got born again. The old man is dead. I already have a citizenship in heaven. I'm already in Christ. I'm already seated in heavenly places in Christ. So if the worst you can do is kill, so what? See, that's the attitude you got to have. And that's what Paul's talking about. I will not fear. I will not be seized with alarm. You have to battle those things. Now, if you're not going to do that, then the fear and the worry and the depression will be there. It may take a little longer to get there. It'll be there. Because you're not resisting it. You resist the devil and he will flee. This is how you resist him. You take the word of God and you declare it. It doesn't do any good just to say the word. You have to apply your faith and trust in it. And that may take some practice. You may have to say it 10,000 times for it to get down in your spirit enough for you to believe it. It's worth it. Do it. If you have a victory in this area, it'll be easier to have a victory in the next one. Because you've got that signpost back there. I've already had one victory. He done it there. Do it again. And we've all got signposts. We've got monuments and pillars in our life. Had it not been for God. I've got several. I know you've got some where you know that you didn't do it. You know that God was there. It might have been when you got born again. You know that you didn't do that. You know the difference. You know he's alive in you. And if that's all you have, you got that. So nothing and nobody can take that away from you. You already have passed from death into life. What can man do to you? That's what David is saying. It's easy to talk this way without the problem there. But when the problem comes, if I've already walked through some problems with God, I already know what to do. It may take me a little while to think about it because that intensity may have been a so-called suddenly. You know what I say about suddenlies. There is no such thing. It's a suddenly to me. It may appeared suddenly and surprised me and I got off center with it. But I came right back over. Because I have these signposts in my life, I'm never going back to that old man. I am a brand new creature in Christ. I'm on my way to heaven. I love my Father. I tell him that every day because I want that love in me. Tell God you love him every day, several times a day. When you open up the Bible, and you should always open up the Bible. If you can't even read, you should open up your Bible and look at it. And just tell him you love his word. I love your word. I do that. I know she hears me. I do it under my breath, but I do it a lot of times. I just open the Bible up to read it. I love your word, Lord. We have to fall in love with his word. And if you speak it, if you speak those kind of things, you'll find yourself rejoicing over his word because you're saying it.
Amen.
It's becoming a part of you. We do not have to be afraid of Satan. He is already a defeated foe. He was 100% defeated by Jesus at the cross.
You'll get an argument about that.
He 100%.
People.
It don't matter if you get, you know, I've had people say there's no fight, or that there is a fight. We're always fighting in warfare. He's defeated. There's a fight, but he's defeated. We are policing a defeated foe. And it makes total sense when you read scriptures from cover to cover. Jesus defeated Satan 100% at the cross as a man. He's defeated. Now we have to walk out that defeat. We're not fighting a foe that is on an equal basis with us. It's similar to well, I used Japan, I guess, or Germany in World War II. Until they were defeated, they were equal. Each had an opportunity to defeat the other one. They were still in full force. But the Allies defeated Germany. They surrendered. But it didn't mean there wasn't still fighting going on. They were fighting as guerrillas now. They're defeated, but they're trying to take back something. They're fighting underground. France was in that position, and the other Allied nations were there when they surrendered to Germany. What they have? They had an underground. The fighting wasn't done, but they were defeated. The difference in this, where God's concerned, Satan can never successfully in any way ever defeat Jesus. He can't. He's 100% defeated. But what he's doing now, and he has no weapons. He lost all his weapons. The only weapon he has is deceit. He can deceive people into thinking he can. So what he uses our weapons against us. He deceives us into believing that he can defeat us. He deceives us into taking us away from the Word, moving us away from it. He deceives us into functioning in fear and worry. If he can do that, then he can function. But he's still defeated. We can overcome that anytime, anywhere, no matter what it is. Because we're not walking in our own strength, we're walking in the Word. The Word is the what defeated him. Jesus is the Word. He's eternal. He is never again can Satan ever take back what he lost. He can't take it back. But what he's trying to do now, he's trying to extend his time. And he can only do that by deceiving the church. Mm-hmm. And he deceives the people that are not the church into not becoming the church, not being born again. But his whole tool is deception. And what he uses is fear, worry, depression, anger, strife. Those are the tools he uses. But what we use is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, the living Word, prayer, praise and worship. Satan cannot stand that. And all we have to do is remind him of where he's going. He's been already sentenced. Already sentenced. It's already been passed. Lays it out in Revelations. He's headed for the pit. And everyone that follows him that's not born again is going there too, although they're not supposed to go there. Mankind was not, the pit was not made for mankind. And God never wanted one man to be in hell. They go because they're following Satan and they reject Jesus. You reject Jesus, there's only one other place to go. But Satan is 100% defeated. I have to treat him that way. Now he's got weapons, but we give them to him. Need to remember that.
The biggest weapon of all, especially when people say no weapon formed against me shall prosper, the biggest weapon they have is their words of their mouth.
Right. And those are spiritual weapons that we have.
Yeah.
You know, you got, it says carnal. It right there. It says it right there.
If we let read that carnal stuff come out of our mouth, we defeat ourselves. Yeah. You don't even have to try.
What I'm telling you is not something that's not in the Bible. It's right there. It's clear and open and obvious. You read it. It's right there. Satan is 100% defeated. You need to know that. Although you can yield yourself to that and wind up defeating yourself. But you can, like Otis and Andy Griffith, key's hanging right there. Just unlock the door and walk out. He cannot hold you. That is so awesome. And it's so sad that a lot of the church believes that they're fighting Satan on an equal level. And they're not. They're not walking in the victory that they already have. Satan is limited to what is common to man or to the natural. We, as born-again children, are not limited to this natural world. We're not limited. See, we're unlimited. We have a right at the throne of God himself. Satan cannot do anything to anyone at any time other than is common to man. But we are not doing our warfare on what's common to man. We're fighting with spiritual weapons. He has no spiritual weapons. He is a spirit, but he has to use what's natural. 1 Corinthians 10:13. And this is the Amplified because it's important for the way it says it. And this will be our last one. For no temptation, how many temptations?
None.
For no temptation, no trial, regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads. What does it say there? No matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you or laid hold on you that is not common to man. That is, no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience and such as man can bear. But God is faithful to his word and to his compassionate nature, and he can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried and assayed beyond your ability and strength of resistance and power to endure. But with the temptation, he will always, always, always also provide the way out. So he will always, always also provide the way out, the means of escape to a landing place, that you may be capable and strong and powerful to bear up under it patiently. So there's nothing, no weapon that Satan can use against you that you are not able to stand up against. But you stand up against it with your love walk, with love, with the word, and with your testimony. The name, the blood, and the word. That's what we use. That's what Revelation says too. And they love not their life unto death. In other words, the most important thing was their standing up, was to name the blood and the word, not their life. They had yielded their life to the Father. And that's what this is saying. I like that landing place. He'll take you to, he'll also provide the way out and a means of escape that you may be capable and strong to bear it up patiently. But he will take you to a landing place. A landing place is as far as you can go down. In other words, there is a place where you are not going to go anymore. So he'll take care of that. You can count on that. Satan will never be victorious unless you let him. If you don't resist, if you don't take the word and resist it, then he has a right to function. But if you resist, he can only use natural, common things to man to tempt you. That's all he can do. But see, you're not limited to this world. Isn't that awesome?
Oh, yeah.
We are not limited. We have eternity living inside of us. The presence of the Holy Spirit. He is our life. So no matter what trial you're going through, don't focus on the trial. Focus on the answer to the trial. God didn't put that there. He never test you. He never tempts you. He cannot tempt because he cannot tempt. He's the one that gets you out of it. Isn't that awesome? If we could really see how limited Satan is, the only place he's not limited is what I give him. Don't give it to him. We can resist him with the word.
Amen.
That's what, and all we've talked about, a lot of what we talked about was pre-cross, like Kathy said. It's pre-cross.
Well, it still applies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how much more now?
Yeah.
He didn't take that away. He didn't say, okay, that no longer works. Yes, it does work, but on a higher degree, to a higher level than that, than then. Yeah. And if David walked in that, without being born again, without the Holy Spirit living inside him, how much more do we? Praise God. Father, we thank you for this time in the Word. I thank you, Father, so much for teaching us, Lord. You're so good to us, and I appreciate these guys so much and what you're doing in their lives and in our life, Lord. Thank you for the Word. We receive it, Lord. Thank you for teaching us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.